Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Eile Tzafanta Bil Vavecha. Yodati Ki Zo Simoch. Yud is continuing his response to Bildot HaShuri. Pasuk Gimel, let's immediately look at the Mitzudos David, the Im Sibas Eile Hadvorim, the Ifnasiyosim Tzafanta Bil Vavecha. Yud is addressing Hashem. If you, Hashem, These Eila refers to this conduct, the conduct of bringing upon me punishment, of causing me to suffer. This approach to my existence, Tzafanta, you Hashem, have hidden in your heart. Right? Tzafan means to hide. Like the Afikoyman, right? The Afikoyman is Tzafan. Imsibas Eila Hadavram, the cause of these things, the cause of my suffering, the Oifin Asiyasim, and your method, Tzafanta Bilvavecha, the Ein Zuloscha Miyasik Oisam, and there's no one that can argue with you. Who besides you can be yasik? I mean, who can argue? Im kol ze ezeyodati, asher hadavar hazeh. Nevertheless, I know hadavar hazosi imoch. This is with you. Asher barasa ata, asher ata barasa ata yotzarta. You have created. You have formed it. The eich im kein tachbol maase yodecha. How then can you destroy the act of your how can you destroy the work of your hand? So what he's saying over here is that he's expressing his frustration that you have planned before I came into existence deep down in your heart that I should suffer. And that's look at Rashi right away. The Eile Tzafanta Liva Aleini. The Eile is going back, all the way back to Pasuk Ches. Okay, in the middle, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, we described in great detail how HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a human being. A person starts out as Shechva Zera. Hashem then turns, and that Shechva Zera is compared to in the Pasuk Yud as milk. And then it curdles like cheese, and then the internal organs are formed with oru basar, and then bones and sinews shelter the internal organs, and then life, chayim and chesed, come into the human being. All of this is what the Mitzudas describes here as chokhma nifla, wondrous wisdom, uvashleim usraf. But all of this was done, this incredible chachma nifla and the shleimus was preceded with an evil plan. The evil plan appears in Pasuk Ches, where he says, Yodcha itzvuni vayasuni yachatsa vivatavatav le'eni, that your hands have caused me sadness. Your hands have caused me sadness, or have molded me. That we had different. We learned that yesterday. Different purush for the word. We'll learn that for the moment. That you have caused me enormous pain and suffering. You've brought upon me afflictions continuously without any respite. And all of this you had planned. This is what Pasuk Yud Gimel is coming to address. Is we're taking Pasuk Yud Gimel is going back. The Eilat Sofanta Bilvavecha. Before you proceed with Pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, to create me with incredible Chachma, you in advance planned that you would cause your creature that would be created with enormous pain and suffering. And there's nothing I can do. Yodati, I know, ki zosi mach, this was your original plan, and this is with you, and there's no human being that can come and address the issue, can give you musr, can demand that you come to a court of law for justice to deal with if this is correct. Okay, let's just, it's very hard. It's the Pasuk Yud Gimel is trying to put together all the psukim we had before. Let's read it one more time. The Eile and the Mitzudas. V'im siba asil hadvarim v'if nasiyasam tzofanta bilvavecha. The Mitzudas, the cause of these matters. And the ofan and the way that you have planned tzafanta b'levavecha, the mitzudas appears to be learning now like Rashi. Rashi says very clearly the eilat tzafanta b'levavecha is going back to pasuk ches, the punishment. Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzvah seems to be saying that the entire plan to create a human being, but the idea is the same. The Ein Zuloskam, the Yasig Oysam, and there's no besides you that can Yasig Oysam, that can appreciate, can understand your ways, the ways how you've created man. Im Kol Zeh, besides this, as Zeh Yodati, this I know. Asher Adav Hazosi Imach, Asher Barosat, Ato Barosat, O Yotzart, Veichim Ken Tachbol Masiyadecha, and therefore the way Mitzvah learns is, why then would you want to destroy this wondrous creature that you have created? Why do you want me to suffer after you've invested in me enormous chokhmah and effort to bring me into existence? Tach masyedech anas b'chokhmah neflo v'shem usraf. Okay, pasuk yodal, pasuk the second half of Rashi. Yodati ki zosimach hal hakolk mufush v'lo shachachta. Everything has been explained. V'lo shachachta, you have not forgotten. You have not forgotten your actions. Kizosi moch, Rashi is learning also, not like the Mitzudos, is that it appears that Rashi is saying that maybe a craftsman, the reason why he destroys his labor, the product of his labor, is because he forgot how much effort and toil he put into it. A person produces a product, he spends weeks, months, years fashioning an object, and then 20 years pass, and he forgets how much toil, effort, sweat went into his creating this object. And then, no, he forgot. So then 20 years later, he comes across it. It's nothing, it's garbage, you throw it out. How many times have we had this experience where we go into the attic, go into the basement, and you pull out some, you find something, and it's a flashback, memories, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, right? I recently was going through some boxes. I found some notebooks from college, some notebooks from high school, and it really was scary. Brought back memories of, how much time I spent working on this project, and now I haven't thought about it in 10, 20 years, whatever it is, and now it's worthless to me. It has no meaning. Ad kedei kach, I threw it in the garbage. but that's a frightening thing, because why didn't I throw it in the garbage until now? Why didn't I throw it in the garbage the moment the class was over? Because at that moment in time, the memories were fresh. And it's too painful to take something which you've spent so much time and effort to discard, to throw it in the garbage. Even though you have no need. You got the grade, you got your mark, you have accomplished the mission, the task is complete, there's no need for this, so throw it in the garbage. I can't bring myself to throw this in the garbage because of the time I have invested in this project. The memories are fresh. It's just too painful. But Mashayase Hazman Lo Yase Hasechel. When time passes, you forget. And you forget, it doesn't have the same meaning, and you're able to part with your hard work. So seemingly, that's exactly what Rashi here is coming to say. And Pasuk Yud Gimel is going back, according to Rashi, we're really mixing and matching Rashi with the Mitzudos. But these previous Pasuk and Pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis describe the enormous effort in Chochmah Kadosh Baruch Hu invests in creating a human being. And it's only natural that you would not want to destroy the product of your labor. So the Eilet Safanta Dulvavecha, all of these plans you have hidden in your heart, meaning within the lay there's always a reference to Chochmah. It's deep, deep Chochmah on your part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create and fashion a human being. Yodati, and now look what you've done to the product of your labor. You're destroying it. That's not normal. That's not something which a normal person would do. So what will you answer me, Hashem? You know why you're destroying the act of your creation? Because you forgot about it. Time has passed. I'm 70 years old. It's been a long time since you created me, so it's no big deal. So Eev says, but Yodati, I, Eev, know that by you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ain't shicha lifnei chisei chivodecha. Before you, Hashem, there's no such thing as forgetfulness. By you, it's ki'ilu, you created me today, and you still have those memories, and therefore it's not proper for you at this point in time to destroy the act of your hand. Yodati ki zo simach, it's still with you. So how then can you destroy the work of your hand? That's seemingly, I'm really mixing the second half of the pasuk according to Rashi's interpretation with the first half of the pasuk from the interpretation of the Mitzudos. So that way, I'm trying to.
Rashi's very tough. What he's saying is, when you created me, you knew you were going to make me suffer. What are you, a sadist?
Well.
He's saying that.
Yeah, exactly, right, exactly. That's what he's saying. Well, he said some even harsher things yesterday. We're learning some harsher things. But that's right. All of these things you knew in advance.
You
planned to destroy me. You planned to destroy me. And your dad, he zoisimach, hakol kemufurish.
Don't we always say that? I mean, we're in control of our own destiny.
You created me just to torture me. You
could always say, you could always blame Hashem. Hashem made me do it. He's in control of what I do. So we are in control of our own destiny. Isn't that what we learned?
Yeah, but he's expressing his frustration because Eve is thoroughly convinced that he does not deserve this punishment. He has not done anything that would warrant such an intense degree of suffering. Because now let's go to Pasuk Yudalit.
We don't know that, but what happens if he's right?
So that that's really the debate.
What are you doing here?
That's a debate between Eov and Bildad and Eliphaz over and over. And we're going to hopefully get to today. We're going to get to the next Perek Yud Alpha. We have Sefer Hanamasi, who also, even stronger terms, he says to Eov, "You're guilty. You're a sinner." And what he does, Sefer Hanamasi, does something even more than the other two friends. He says, "You deserve a lot worse." I don't believe Bildad and Eliphaz said that. Bildad and Eliphaz seem to say you're getting what you deserve. Sofar Hanamosti, the thrust of his argument is this is just a tipa shebeyan. The amount of punishment you're getting is just a small little amount compared to what you really deserve.
Well, obviously they thought he was a sinner.
Yes, they did. They
but
really did.
Details, so we don't know.
Eov's thrust is, you are absolutely wrong, I'm not a sinner. That comes out over and over. We did yesterday for the first time learn that Eve at one point in time says, maybe I don't know, maybe I am a sinner. Maybe there's something deep down in my subconscious, some thought, rebellious thoughts that are extremely evil and I deserve to suffer. But that's just a very small part of his response. Eov, over and over, at least so far, what we've seen in these last 10 parakim, he feels he is a tzaddik. He has, even if he has done something wrong, that does not deserve this intensity that he is receiving. Okay, let's go further. So now we come to Pasuk, some more ideas. Pasuk Yudal, Im Chatasi Ushemartani. Let's say you're right. Okay, like exactly what you wanted to say. Let's say I did sin. Ushmartani. And you have guarded my neshama. We'll see what this means in the mitzvot in a moment, that you have made sure that I live to suffer. You guard my soul to ensure that I suffer in my lifetime for my sins. Ume avoni lo sinakeni. And don't you think it's enough? Don't you think Tanakedi means to be cleansed? Don't you think that now that I have suffered, my sin should be cleansed? Let's see more elaboration. Pasuk Yudal Mitzudos. Im Chotasi. Af. Maybe you're right. Even Im Chotasi. Ha'im Roy Asher Shemartani Zezman Rav B'masar Hamach Oivim. Is it proper that you should guard me? So the Mitzudos learned this question. Shemartani. Is it proper that you should guard me in jail? The jail means the jail. The jail is not a physical jail. It means the prison of pain. B'masar Hamach Oivim. Ha'elu V'lo Sinakeni. And your Umei Avoni. And for my sin, Lo Sinakeni. You're not going to cleanse me. Umei Avoni. From the stain of sin. In other words, I got enough. Enough is enough. Rashi, Pasuk Gedal, Im Chatasi Ushmartani, Nosate Nechabi, Milahalim Velaver Almidosecha. You have put your eyes against me to conceal yourself and from being Maver Almidosecha. Aver Nevakolish Baruch, who has pity. No, under normal circumstances, Hashem has pity, and Hashem is Maver al Midosav. He overlooks transgressions. Hashem really should punish a person Mida connected Mida, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu has Rachamim. He overlooks that approach. You refuse to cleanse me from my sin. Ella al hakol ato pareya, but you Hashem are punishing me for every single detail of my sin. And that's not fair. Why are you being shomer? So according to Rashi, Rashi appears to be saying that the word shmira in this context means you're guarding your revenge. The midah of revenge, the midah of punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, and Me'ikar HaDin, the symbol called Midas HaDin, and Midas HaDin demands that a person receive what he deserves. However, there is something called Midas HaRachamim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks the requirement to punish midah k'neged midah. But you, Hashem, have refused to overlook the Midas HaDin. You're guarding the Midas HaDin. The Pasuk Tezvav, Im Roshati, Alalaili, this sounds like from the Kinnas and Tisha B'Av. If indeed I have sinned, Alalaili, I have suffered enough. Alalai means it's a yalala. It's I have cried out enough. I've cried out enough, and enough is enough. Vitzodakti lo eser vitzodakti lo eser roishi. And if I was righteous, I have not lifted up my head. We'll see what that means in a moment. Sva koloin, I am sated with shame, and I beg of you, Hashem, ure'e oni, see my affliction. Let's look at the David. Lazos eshbot. With regard to this, I demand judgment. Shein hevdol bein harosh bein atzadik bein imrashati. Bein im Rashati, whether I have sinned. So here he's coming to say there's no difference between the Tzaddik and the Rasha. Bein im Rashati alalaili. If it's correct that I'm a sinner, woe to me. Bein im Tzodakti, I'm righteous. Loi orum roishi, I'm not going to complain. Bein kach u bein kach, whether I'm guilty or innocent, that's not the issue. The issue is I am satisfied with shame and suffering, and you have to bring this to an end. One more time. Lazos eshbot, the following statement I make. She'ein hevdil bein harasha ubein hatzadik. There's no difference between a rasha and a tzadik. Ubeinim rashati alulai li. If I'm a wicked person, then woe to me. Beinim tzadakti. If I'm a tzadik, le'orim roishi. I'm not going to raise up my head and demand mishpat. Bein kach ubein kach ani sova mikolon. I am sated from shame. Cherpas rei. From the shame of my friends come and witness, they observe my lowly state, and people, observers, they watch, they see my affliction and my lowliness. Because if there was a difference between the tzaddik and the rasha, af im lu rashati, because even if it's true that I was wicked, mikol makom haloi kvar kabalta de hagmul, I've already received my punishment. V'hareini menuka me'avon, I'm already cleansed from my sins. Umazel lo yiklu ha'yisrin, why then don't my afflictions come to an end? So he's saying here in this pasuk an entirely different theme. That does, let's put aside mishpat, whether I'm a tzaddik, whether I'm a rasha. Enough is enough. I'm not going to go debate the issue. Sometimes a person goes in front of a judge and he says, listen, the person has suffered, he allegedly committed a crime. If he's really guilty, it's debatable. But that's not the issue anymore. The issue is the person has suffered l'chol hapachos more than he can possibly deserve. Let's talk about Pollard. He's now in the news all again, right? Pollard's in the news again. So all of the experts, I don't really know all the issues, but all the experts are saying, seemingly saying, is it's not the issue anymore. Whether he's guilty or innocent, he suffered enough. He's paid his price, no matter what. Let's not review the issues of mishpat, guilty, not guilty. L'chol hapachos, enough is enough. That's seemingly what he appears to be saying according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos God. Im Roshati, alalai li. If I'm a Rasha, woe to me, I deserve to be punished. V'tzadakti, and if I'm a tzaddik, I'm innocent, I didn't do anything wrong. Lo yaser roshi, I'm not going to make a case anymore. It's too late for that. Whatever was, was. All I want to tell you, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, is the bottom line is Siva Koloin, I am sated with shame, re'e on me, look at my suffering, and free me from this situation. Let's see what it says in the pasuk. Has vav in the mitzvah stavid seva kolon. Ani, I'm sitting with kolon. Reyoni ein zet sivui. This is not a command. El shem davar. So according to the mitzvah, Rashi appears to be learning not like Rashi. Rashi says reyoni means is a request, like I explained. I'm asking. He's making a request. And I want you to see my suffering so that you should bring it to an end. Rashi says it's the same idea, but it's just a statement. This is not a command. I'm not asking you anything. Elashem davar. This is like a noun. Re'ayoni. And there is some French word, Shakol Shah Ani Royehu, Kimo Shato Oimer. Every moment I see Ure'e on ye, every moment I witness my own affliction, my suffering. And it's similar to the expression Siva Kolon, just like it's clear from the context, Siva Kolon is not a request, it's a statement. I am in a situation, a state of koloin. I'm not just koloin, I am sva koloin. Likewise, I am in a state of onyi. I observe my onyi. It's a state of being. So that's how Rashi learns. Urei onyi is equivalent to sva koloin. It's not a request from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that you should do something about it. Usva yamim v'sava yam kmo v'sava yamim kein tama urei kmo v'roe onyi. I see onyi. I see my own affliction. Okay. Pasik tes zayin v'yige kashachal titzudeni. V'soshov tispalo bi. Now that is complicated. Pasuk basically what he's going to say is, Hashem, I want to die. If you don't want to take away my suffering at this moment in time, at least do me the favor and bring an end to my life. Don't let this suffering continue. Now how do we see that in this pasuk? So let's take a look at pasuk design in the sudos. Miyitein. He's making a request. If only it could be, v'yige miyitein v'hoya haro gedol olai, turn up the heat, like a person is being tortured. So increase the degree of torture where it would overwhelm me and I would die instantly instead of continue suffering. V'yige means to elevate the degree of suffering. Kol kach ad shet. It should capture me. Hashachal hazeh. Hashachal is a creature, a lion. It's a lion. When a lion attacks its prey, there's no survivors. It's immediately devoured. There's no injury. There's no need to go to an emergency room. It's all over. So kashachal titzun. Let it be like the lion will capture me, and I will perish immediately. Asher yotzu dover ma, asher yashchitzu pam achas v'lo yishane, and that does not repeat. V'chein esav liyos, I want to be nishchas. I'm chalishing to die, to perish b'hara ad lichalei, till I perish. Avol, now the next part of the pasuk according to the mitzvah says, but you don't want to do this, Hashem. You don't want to assist me in my request. Avol toshuv lo tzedosi, but you instead, Hashem, you continue to trap me. Pam achar pam v'tiribi pilos, and you do to me wondrous things. What are the wondrous things that you are doing to me? You're keeping me alive. It's shaloi kederach hateva, to remain alive in such a miserable state, and it's only because you want to torture me. You want to make sure I'm keeping alive. It's like some type of horror. Experience.
Is death an atonement for errors?
Yes, it is. To some, not 100%, but to some degree, death is an atonement. Absolutely. Suffering is also an atonement. There are many things which are an atonement. The Gemara discusses all the various types of atonements, but the experience of death itself is a very significant degree of atonement. Okay, but that's not the issue, because we know as a fact that people die and they still have to go to Gehenna. So there's still more atonement that needs to be, and certainly we have a tradition that the suffering a person has in this world is infinitely greater for the neshama to atone for sin than what can be accomplished in the next world. And the experience of death is also a form of atonement. So we don't really know the scale of how all of these things works, but everything accomplishes a specific task. Here he's saying this social, what are you doing instead? You are returning multiple times. You are careful not to take my life in one moment, like a shachal, but to bring upon me soft, but to preserve my life in a wondrous way, so you can torture me continuously. And I'm telling you, Hashem, I can't take it anymore. You have to stop it. You got to cut this out. You just got to put an end to it and bring it into my suffering. So let's finish up the words. V'tiri pelos, you show me wonders. What are the wonders? Lishmer hanefesh, to guard my soul. V'lo titein oso lirashachas, not to allow it to fall into the grave. So let's review the pasuk according to Mitzubas. The Yigeh, I beg of you, Hashem, if only you can increase my suffering. We have to add a number of words into the pasuk. I beg of you that you should increase, you should expand, magnify my suffering, so that I die instantly, just like the following metaphor, kashachal titzudeini. Let me be like a creature that has been trapped by a lion, where there is no survivor. The lion devours and destroys instantly. Comma, or period. But Hashem, you're not listening to me. You're not paying attention. Instead, what you're doing is v'soshov tispala. Tispala means a wonder, a pella. You're doing wondrous things by keeping me alive in order to soshov, to continuously return multiple sessions of torture vi against me. Rashi, pasuk tezayin. Pasuk tezayin v'yige kashachal titzudeni v'yigdal be'enechol yois l'chol amasa ulapach nefesh. Rashi is learning an entirely different interpretation. Let it be great in your eyes. V'yigdal be'enechol, let it be great in your eyes. Yois l'chol amasa ulapach, to be a burden ulapach nefesh. Eis asher kashachal titzudeni. Asher tifro shli mitsuda, as if you're trapping for me a trap, ki ilu ani goiver kashachal. According to Rashi, gibor kashachal. Rashi learns that the shachal is Iyov. Iyov says, I appear to be in your eyes like a ferocious lion. And what do you do when there's a ferocious lion that's roaming the streets? You bring out the troops. You bring out the troops and you set up nets. You set up traps in order to capture the lion and destroy the lion. So he's saying, we read the words one more time, what he's saying is that, Hashem, I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing. Why bother with me? Just let me die. Leave me alone. The fact that you're punishing me with such intensity indicates you consider me to be a significant creature. You consider me to be a shachal. And a shachal is a significant creature. It's large, ferocious, it's dangerous. You have to deal with it. You have to bring out an army to capture and destroy the army. Hashem, you got it all wrong. I'm not a shachal. I'm a nothing. I'm just a little, I'm a weakling. Why are you bringing out the heavy guns to torture a person that's not a real danger? So according to Rashi, the yige means, it appears to me, from the way you're torturing me, that I'm a great person. I'm an ish godol. I'm a significant creature in this world, like as a shachal. That's a shachal. That's a lion. And therefore, what do you do when the lion, when you call the police and you tell the police there's a lion that's roaming the streets? Titsudeini, you have to go and bring out traps to capture the lion. This soshov, and you have to continue to do it tispaloli, you have to work hard tispaloli, according to Rashi, ledaktek ulahafli bimishpat, loshun ki yafli. According to Rashi, ki yafli means to express yourself. Ish ki yafli lindar neder lahashem. If a person expresses himself to vow an oath to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here Rashi is learning that like the Mitzvah doesn't mean wonder, it means to express clearly. to clearly express yourself with words. And in this context, we're going to borrow this term. We're going to be medactic. Hashem, you are directing punishment with precision and exactness to torture me because you view me to be a great threat. What kind of threat? Nothing less than a shachal, which needs large traps. So according to Rashi, entire pasuk v'yigeh kashachal v'yigeh, you view me to be a great person, therefore kashachal titzudeni, v'sashuv, you return tispaloli, to be exact, to be medactic, and precise view against me to punish me. So we have two very different interpretations of this pasuk between Rashi and the Mitzudos. Who is the Shachal? Is the Shachal Eiv, or is Shachal what Eiv is requesting should come upon him to destroy him? Is the pasuk one theme, or is the pasuk two themes? According to Rashi, it's one continuous thought. According to the Mitzudos, it's two different thoughts. Bidika Shachal Tetsudeni, it's Halavai, you should destroy me. But Chaval, you don't want to do that, Hashem. I see you're not interested. The Sash of Tispalabi, you want to do wondrous things to me in order to keep me alive and to torture me in a wondrous way. Okay, according to Rashi, Viga Shachal Tetzudeni, Hashem, I don't know what's going on here. You think you got the wrong guy. I'm not a Shachal, but you think I am a Shachal, and that's why you're doing things like a shachal, as if I'm a shachal, to trap me and to be medactic with me. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Techadesh, another protest, another expression of frustration. Techadesh eidecha negdi. And this is an amazing thing that he says, according to the Mitzvah. You'll see it in a moment. You renew witnesses against me. V'seref ka'ascha. We had this many times, that a sin can be interchanged with a samach. And that means kas, your anger. Your anger has increased, imadi. Chalifos, multiple times. Utsva imi, tsva, remember a couple of psukim back, we means time. And they spend a lot of time with me. Now, in other words, what he's telling over here is, when you go visit a person in the hospital, don't spend a long time. You always hear that people still, it all really depends on the person. You can't generalize. But the general rule is, don't spend a lot of time visiting a person who is ill. You just come to show you care, you put your head in, how are you? If you need anything, I would like to be of assistance. And you spend a few minutes and you leave. Okay, it's not always true. Sometimes people would love to have you sit there with them the whole day. But here he's saying that my friends, you are my friends. What have you done here? Bildad, Hashuchi, Eliphaz, and Sulele. You sit here the whole day with me. You don't leave me alone. And what do? You criticize me. It's torture. Don't you have something to do? Don't you have a job? Don't you have to go to kollel? What are you doing here, sitting the whole day here and torturing me? So let me read the pasuk backwards. If you look at the end of the pasuk, it says utzva imi. So that means time. You have plenty of time to sit here with me. And what do you do when you sit here with me? Look at the end of the pasuk. You are techadesh eidecha. You are witnesses. So far, we have Bildad and Bildad and Eliphaz, two people. Al pishnai meidim yakum davar. What have both of you said? What's the common denominator of your message? I'm guilty. You're both coming to testify together. Iyov, you're a Russia. You're a sinner. So you're witnesses. You're testifying before the Shekhinah. Shekhinah is lamala mirashaysav shalchayla. The Shekhinah is present in the room. And you're techadesh every day. You come again and again and again, and you repeat your testimony that I'm a guilty, I'm a rasha, I'm a wicked person. And this, by doing so, you're just making me angry. I'm tzehitzt. It's like reading the paper. You get all worked up. You read something that you don't like, it gets you more and more angry. So this is a very powerful pasuk, and the truth is, this pasuk is very practical. And Rahman al-Sun, you see, this is people who are not, or are either Rahman al-Sun, they're not well, or they're not in a good mood, they're very upset about something, and someone tries to appease them and fight them, and you do more damage than good by opening your mouth and trying to defend the wrong people. Let's see how all of this fits into the words of the Mitzudos of David. It's a powerful pasuk, Yud Zayin. Techadesh. B'cholesh, so he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's really addressing his friends. B'cholesh, t'chadesh negdi edim. Every single moment, you are presenting witnesses, asher yu'idu l'cha, who testify in front of you, Hashem, al roa mif'oli, on my evil deeds. What witnesses? So when the Mitzvah asks, what are you talking about? Where are their witnesses coming to testify against Siof? The al reyov ye omer. This is a reference to Eov's friends who are sitting by his bed, asher yarshiu also, which are declaring him guilty. You're a rasha. Vateref, and by doing so, you increase al yidei zetarbe ka'ascha olai. You increase your anger against me. Why? What's the anger? Why? Ki arbe lohoshe, because they provoke me. And when they provoke me, I respond with words of apikursis. And the words of apikursis are a sin. And that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more angry at me. So it's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle of rishis. Ki arbe lohoshev amorim uveroiv devarim, and most of the things that I say, Eve acknowledges, are sinful. Uveroiv devarim lo yechtal pesha. I acknowledge that everything I'm saying until now is apikursis. And I'm only saying it because I'm frustrated, not because I really want to say it. And it's not to my benefit. It's going to cause I should suffer even more. Chalifos, my friends, vehema machlifim atzmam pam ida bezer pam zeh veskul moshev. You know, they take turns. There's a rotation. The whole family has signed up to make sure they don't leave me alone for one moment. You ever see a large family? They have shifts. Shifts make sure the person is not alone for one moment, to make sure that every single moment they say, Zayda, you're a Russian. Zayda, you deserve it. You deserve it. Don't ever forget it. That's exactly what he's saying here. The machlifas.
Honorary
shvigit. Utsuva imi. And look at this. They have no, you have nothing better to do with your time. You have all the time in the world. Tzva means man. Lo yimar hululeches. They're in no rush. They're in no rush to go. Avol yisakvu imi meshech zman. They sit with me the whole day. Umarbim dvarim. And they say words of nonsense that get me more angry. Uvi al karachach oshev al kol derem. And that provokes me. It gets me all worked up. And I respond with words of apikursis. And it's just a vicious cycle. Okay, powerful stuff. How many should put this on the hospital?
This is a great
put this outside on the front of the hospital. Instead of having from what do they have? They have all these different psukim. You go to every hospital, they have all different psukim, all these profound things. This is the most profound thing you should put on the front door of the hospital.
But when you give a carbon chatos, the first thing you do is have to admit
to sin. Chatos, that's for you to admit. There's a very big difference between someone else and yourself. A classic example is self-deprecating humor. Right? A person can say about himself the worst things. Oh, I may. But if someone else says those same exact things, to you, it's World War III. We all know that. We all know that there are people out there that they, when the public speakers or teachers, and they say things about themselves, most they say insulting things. So far, you can say what you want, but if someone else would say exactly those things about them, even a fraction of that about, oh, that then you, so sinning. When it comes to a sin, when you bring the carbon, so you can say chotasi, but no one has a right to go over to another human being and say to you, you know why you're suffering? Because you're a sinner.
But he can't admit that he did anything wrong, so therefore he can never do tshuva.
He can admit. Why can't he admit?
He doesn't know what he did wrong.
He doesn't admit because he doesn't think he did anything wrong.
At this point in time, you're right. He admits, he's arguing that he did not do anything wrong, and therefore he does not know why he's suffering, and that's all part of his complaint, his frustration. And Achanan, right? Eov is not willing to admit, more or less, that he did something for which he deserves this intensity of suffering. Absolutely, and that's his complaint.
Didn't tell him what he did wrong. Did
no, no. Well, Bilda did say that his children, the children, are having parties every day.
Right.
So that he did say. He didn't. Maybe he blamed the Eov for their chinuch, and you should have prevented them from behaving in such a manner. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk Gitzayim, Eidecha lohoid al chalifas hataloim v'hamichayim, to testify. Rashi learns, seemingly is learning not like the mitzudos. Rashi seemingly refers to the punishment, not to human beings. According to the mitzudos, that lohoid refers to his friends. You, my friends, you are offering testimony. Lohoid, according to the mitzudos, according to Rashi, is Eidecha, there are malachim in Shemayim. There are angels in heaven, or there are the katrigim that are coming to testify that Hashem should bring upon me more suffering. Person is sick, and in Shemayim there are things that are going on. Should the person be healed? Should the person suffer more? Should he die? It seems that there are always new prosecutors coming before you, Hashem, to testify that I should have more suffering, chalifas, to the exchange, hachaloim, illnesses, umichoivim, and pain. Utsva imi, what does it mean, this time, imi with me? Zamanim kitsuvim liyasui, eilu mishamshim, v'choizrim, umischalfim shinuyim, Meshunim me'ele u'meshamshim zman acher. The tzva refers to the suffering. My suffering comes in cycles. Today I have this type of boil. Tomorrow I have a fever. The next day I have an infection. And the next day I have a migraine headache. And then we have another type of boil. So the tzva imi means that the suffering comes in patterns of time. Of zman. That's harash, not like the mitzudos that says that so means that my friends have plenty of time. You, my friends, have plenty of time to sit here with me and to torture me. Rashi learns that so means the affliction comes in sets of times, orders of time. What?
Like in waves.
Waves. Okay, waves. So one more time, the words the Rashi, zmanim kitsuvim liasui, to torture me. Elu, this form of disease, mishamshim v'choizrim, mishamshim means it serves its mission, it tortures me. V'choizrim mischalfim shinuyim, and then it switches to a new form of torture. That's what they say, Gehenim, person keeps on going from one place to another, because you can get used to Gehenim. That's part of the refuah. If a person has one type of form of punishment, and that's it. So even Gehenna, you can get used to. So in order that a person should suffer, a person has to keep on changing from one form of Gehenna to another. That itself is part of the torture. And that's seemingly what he's saying over in Rashi, that if I had one type of illness, okay, I would settle in. I would acknowledge this is the pain, and I would do the best I can to adjust psychologically to this type of suffering. But I don't have that option. Because as soon as I get used to it, and I learn how to deal with it, suddenly a new type of pain comes upon me, which I have no experience, and it takes time to adjust. And that itself is torture. And then this thing continues over and over. That's seemingly what Rashi seems to be saying. Umeschalfim shinuyim mishunim me'ele. New ones, new different types of suffering. Umeshamshim zman acher. And the new form of suffering continues for a period of time. Pasuk Yudches. Now he goes back to a theme that he said way back in the beginning of the Sefer. V'lama me'rechem hoitzeisani. Why, Hashem, did you do this cruel thing to me and take me out of the womb? Well, you could learn that Pasuk Yuchas really goes back to Pasuk Yud Yud Alf Yud Beis. And Yud Yud Alf Yud Beis, he described the formation of a fetus. So listen, Hashem, you made me, but why did you have to cause that I should come out of my mother's womb? Why couldn't I have died being a stillborn? V'lam merechem hotseisani, why did I come out of the womb? Egva, if only I would have perished, I would have died in my mother's womb. V'ayin lo sereni, and no eye would have taken, have seen me. Pasuk Yudches in the Mitzudas V'lama Im Koch Ato Isali. If Hashem, this is what you're going to do to me. You're going to torture me, and you're going to have my friends come and torture me. Lama Hosei Sani Chayim Berechem. Why did you bring me out of my mother's womb alive? I should have perished inside my mother's womb. V'lo Hoye Ayin Royosi. Al Kiyisi Nikvam Yen. I would have been buried right away. Rashi Pasuk Yudches. Egva v'lo v'ayin loy sereni halavai. If only egva merechem halavai. If only it would have been that I would have died in my mother's womb. Pasuk yutes kasher lo hayisi ehaye mi better is a continuation. If that would have been so, kasher. If what I request in pasuk yutes would have been lo hayisi ehaye lo hayisi, I would not have existed. Kama lo hayisi ehaye. Well, according to the Trop puts the two words together, lo hayisi ehaya, I would not have existed. So ehaya means to be, hayisi is the past tense. If you would have granted my request that I die in my mother's womb, lo hayisi ehaya, I would not have existed. That would have been wonderful. Mi betin lakever uvol, uvol means to bring, means a path. I would have been brought directly from my mother's womb to the grave. They would have taken me out of my mother's womb to perform some type of surgical procedure to take out a dead baby and put me right in the grave. What's very interesting, this is a makar that a fetus needs kavura. Okay, there's a very big shaila in halacha. When do you need, if a woman has a miscarriage, at what point in time is in the Jewish law, is the medical, is the hospital, the doctor just allowed to dispose medical waste, just a discharge from a woman, is medical waste, or not even, maybe it can be thrown out even in the regular garbage. At what point in time is it required that a fetus needs actual kivura? From here you see that there is such a thing to it, that a stillborn, today we're very sensitive to the even among the secular world, I don't know all the details, but I would imagine anything which has the tzur of a human being, would require, even among the goyim, to some degree, would require some type of dignified disposal, whatever that means. But in ancient times, it wasn't like that. Ancient times, they were much more primitive and much crude.
We do kavura unless there was a leida. We do kavura as tuma. From 40 days.
That's the question. Okay, that's all part of the issue.
And then there's a separate.
Also, you're not supposed to know where it is. There are many mystical things. They do kavur, but the parent's not supposed to know where the kavur is. And
there's
no matseva. Okay.
They put all of them together in one
cave. But who even says you need a cave? Maybe you can just throw it into the ocean, or maybe there can be some other. Who says there is tuma? So maybe there is no tuma. None. So that's all part of the question.
That's what you're saying.
Okay, that's all part of the question. This pasuk is part of the equation because it very clearly says I would have been taken from the bet into the kever. Just because he's expressing himself, he's in a frustrated state of mind. Everything that comes out of his mouth is al pi ruach hakodesh, and that's why it's recorded as a halacha. There are hundreds of halachas that are learned from Eos Apikursis. Because there are many layers of interpretation. I would have been brought to the kever. Let's see what Pasuk Yates in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Yates says, "Kasher also yisi ki lo yisi." If this would have been the case, it would have been like I didn't exist. Ki yisi muvul min abeten el kever. I would be brought from the bet from the womb to the kever. V'harayu ki ilu lo nivrasim yom. It would have been as if I never was born. Rashi uvul means halavai hayisi muvul. Going back, Pasuk Yates. If only it would have been that I would have been brought. I would have been transported directly from my mother's womb to the grave. Pasuk Chaf, Haloi Ma'at Yomai. My days are few. This goes back to a theme he mentioned before. That Hashem, maybe my friends are right. Maybe Eliphaz is right. The reason why you're torturing me is because you want to bring me reward. You want to prevent me from suffering the three and the four we had back in the beginning of the Sefer. But if that's really true, that the suffering that you bring upon me is to my benefit, that I can have reward, I can live a good life afterwards, but I don't have that much time left. I'm running out of time, I only have a few days left. So you have to bring an end to my suffering so I can enjoy whatever I have left of my life. Halo me'at yomai, my days are short. V'chadol, and the chadol, and they will soon cease to exist. Therefore, I'm running out of time. If you have something good planned for me, vishis mimeni, remove. Shis means to either it means to set or to remove. many times one word can be used two ways. Sarah means lift up your hand, lift up the rod of suffering, mimeni, remove your hand from me, ve'avliga me'ot, we have the word avliga numerous times, I will be strengthened, and allow me to strengthen myself and enjoy whatever I have left in this world. Pasuk yutas in, pasuk chaf in the mitzudos. If the reason why you've created me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is because you want to give me reward, and you're punishing me now to prepare me for the ultimate reward, the clock is running out, there's not much time, I demand of you to remove the suffering, to take it away from me, and I should strengthen myself. According to the Masuda, it's very interesting, he's taking the word chadal, the chadal, not part of the beginning of the pasuk, he's putting the chadal part of the second end of the pasuk. When I read the pasuk, I said the words haloi ma'at yomai v'chadol, my days are short, v'chadol, and they will soon cease. That's not how the mitzvah, that's how the trop indicates, it's an esnachta, which is a conclusion of the word yomai, my days are short and they will soon come to an end. But the mitzvah seems to sing halo ma'at yomai kama, my days are short, and now the word v'chadol is part, the opening word for the next expression, v'chadol v'shis mimeni, cause the suffering to cease, the yisum should come to an end, v'shis mimeni, and remove the suffering from upon me, v'avliga ma'at, and I will strengthen myself, fortify myself to enjoy whatever I have left in this world. Rashi, pasik chaf, v'shis mimeni, toshis atzmacha mimeni, put yourself upon me, umeolai, tosh, I guess it means to remove yourself from me, umeolai, kmo krav elecha krav li atzmacha v'rechak menu, come close to yourself. So toshis, Rashi says something very interesting. Shis literally means to put, to cast, to set. So the Masuda seems to be saying the word, many words are used doubly. It can be translated in the opposite form. To remove, to set, and to unset. Here, according to the Mitzvot, I'm asking you, Hashem, to unset, to remove the suffering from upon me. Rashi is saying, no, the word set, tasa, means to set. But it means, Hashem, put your hand on yourself. When you put your hand on yourself, memela, you'll be taking it away from me. Your hand, in this context, represents punishment. You're bringing punishment upon me. Hashem, take that hand and put it back, put it upon yourself. Memela, it will no longer be upon me. Reminds me of an appeal. This week I heard a very good appeal. Person chmo schitim. You have to give tzedakah. So the Rav said you have to give tzedakah. There are some people that have no hasaga what it means to give. What does it mean to give? Marshal Mahadav Yadayim, a person is drowning. And he puts out his hand and he says to someone, please, give me your hand. Give me... No. How does it go? Give me...
The guy in the boat.
Give me... So someone comes to save him. Give me your hand. Give me your hand. No response. Take my hand. Oh! Then he understood. So it's all the same. Taking and giving is also relative. It's all relative to who's taking, who is giving. Here, that's exactly what Rashi is doing. The sim. Sim literally means to put. Means to give. But if you don't know how to give, so just give to yourself. You don't have to give to someone else. Give to yourself. And giving to yourself, in the mail, that's equivalent to removing your hand from someone else. Okay, next words of the Rashi, Pasuk of Aleph, B'terem Eilech, he continues to beg Hashem, please save me before I die, fully Ashuv, El Eretz Choshech V'Tzalmavis. Hashem, we're running out of time. You have to take away the suffering so I can enjoy whatever I have left in this world before I go. Where am I going? I'm going to a place that I will not return. When I go, I'm not coming back. And where am I going? To a land of choshech v'tzalmaves. Death is darkness and the shadow of death. Tzalmaves is another term for death. Tzalmaves. Gam ki elech b'gei tzalmaves tzalmaves. the shadow of Moses. Pasuk Chaf Aleph Mitzudos, B'terem Eilech, B'terem almost before I die. V'Eilech, and I go B'derech Asher Lo Yashuv, then I go into the place where I did not return. V'hi, where is that? El Eretz Cheshech V'samavitz, Cheshchas HaKever, the darkness of the grave. Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Rashi, B'terem Eilech, B'oideni Chai, V'lo Higia Eis, give me reward, give me something to look forward to, some strength, remove the suffering while I'm still alive. V'lo Higia Eis, Mosi, before it comes the time of my death. Hanachli, leave me alone, give me some relief. The Argia, and I will strengthen myself. Pasuk Chavez, now he describes what exactly death is like. This is a classic. This pasuk is a popular pasuk in describing death. Gehenim, or death, is Eretz Afesa. It's a land of darkness. Afesa means cheshka, darkness, kamo ofel, like darkness. So, and there's much repetition. It's a land of Afesa, kamo ofel. It's Tzalmoves. It's a place where there's nothing other than the shadow of death, velo sidarim. There is no order. You don't make the seder.
You need a photographer.
Okay, there's no velo sidarim.
Dark, no pixels.
It's very sad. Once had a person, they got into a lot of trouble, and they took him away Erev Pesach. So there was a person that was commenting, and he made a joke. It was a very nasty joke. He said, well, at least he doesn't have to go to the Seder. To Erev Pesach. And his wife, well, she doesn't have to prepare for Pesach. Look at the good side of things. Wasn't really the good side of things, situation wasn't good, but v'lo sidarim in Gehenim, there is no order. And that means the order of this world. And this world is a world of Seder. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. There's morning, there's afternoon, there's night, there is youth, there is old age. Everything in this world has a Seder. Seder here is synonymous with science. There is Teva, there is nature. Nature can be defined as an orderly system. That's the world. The world is a makom of sidarim. In the olam ha'emes, it's a makom that's without science. Velo sidarim. There is no seder.
I think one of the worst tortures is called sensory deprivation.
What's that? You take away a person's senses.
You put him, let's say, into water, and you put tubes around his hands and eye. He doesn't have any sensation or feeling of anything. No smell, you know, no smell. And he loses completely, you know, nothing, everything is random.
Frightening.
You know? Me?
What do you think he was the last 3 days? He went on a mission. He went to Florida. He went, who knows where he went. Somewhere,
sure,
some far part of the world to who knows what he was doing. Okay.
You can tell you, then he
got to
kill you.
Okay.
Then you got to stay to the sheep.
By the word seder, the popular Jewish form in Haggadah, we know that the Torah has four parts. There's pshat, divided into four categories: pshat, remez, drush, and sod. Pshat is symbol, pshat, remez, drush, sod. In the seder, it has samach, sod, secrets, resh is remez, and dalid, drush. What's missing? Pshat. There's no pshat. The Seder is a mystical event. There's nothing is simple about the Seder. Only Drush Remesot. So if you want to take that Drush and you want to magnify it in the Olam HaEmes, in the grave, there's no Pshat. Nothing is simple. Nothing is simple there. In the next world, there's only Soid, Remes, and Drush. So we have to be careful. That Toifa, what is the radiance of Gehenim, or of the Olam HaEmes, is Kamo Ofel, is like darkness. In other words, it's an expression. Well, you think there's light in Gehenna. The light is darkness. This is the definition of Gehenna. So here in this pasuk, Eoiv is very eloquently describing what it's like after I die, and I don't want to come to that point anytime soon. Let's take a look at pasuk HaBeis in the Mitzudas. Eretz Afesa, HaChoshech Shela. It's darkness. He kamo cheshchas afela. It's the darkness of afela. Who tzila shel maves? What is that? What is the ofel? It's a very vague expression. the land of darkness is Ophel. What's Ophel? Ophel is Tzalmoves. V'hu Tziloy Shalmoves, it is the shadow of death. The Ein Sham Sidrei Maroches HaKalchon Mazdol Sdirin Shemayin, the orders of the constellations of nature do not exist. V'tofa Af HaMokam HaMan, here, the place in the grave that has light, U'masir Sheba, of radiance, He Kecheshka Safela, it's like the darkness. It's like the darkness of Afela. Ulezen, therefore, Eov concludes his thought. Chadal mimeni, I beg you, Hashem. Chadal mimeni, Hayisum, take away the suffering. I'm le'elich alamokem achu, before I go to that location, and I can at least enjoy whatever I have left in this lifetime before I go. Now, here the Mitzudos. This concludes Eov's response to Bildad, and here the Mitzudos gives a very, very short summary. Ha'ole mehamane, hahi. What is the theme of Eov's response? Lister das Bildad, to contradict the words of Bildad. She'omer shakobo behashkocha v'toivas, everything happens b'hashkocha. That was one of his major themes, that there is hashkocha pratis. How dare you, Eov, deny hashkocha pratis? It's incorrect. There is hashkocha pratis. V'toivas harasham l'ra'ah, and the wicked, their good is for their detriment. Hashem is paying off their, giving them reward in this world so they can be finished, they can be suffer. V'ros hatzadikim heim l'toiva, and the reason why tzadikim suffer is for their ultimate benefit. Ki Yashiv Amorim, Eov responds, Loimar, I disagree. Eich yitochein imheima min achas. How can you say such a thing? Imheima min achas, v'derech achas lehem, v'yishtane b'pulosam. How can it possibly be that suffering is exactly the same, and it serves different functions? It can't be that a tzaddik and a rasha suffer, receive exactly the same form of suffering, and for one person it's for his detriment, and for another person it's for his benefit. Can't be the betterment. It can't be that the same exact form illness, the same exact pain, can be for one person good and one person bad. He disagrees with that concept. And if you're going to tell me that a Rasha, with regard to the sudden death of a Rasha, that was another thing that he focused on in this section, that the fact that a Rasha dies suddenly is a tremendous bracha. He doesn't have to witness, he doesn't have to suffer like a tzaddik, a long, prolonged death. V'yivchar b'zeh, I choose this, milios miyusar kimo tzaddik. I would much rather have a sudden death than to suffer like a tzaddik, period. What else does he say in this theme? Af yislun, he complains, lama zeh yimar l'shalim kol gmul harasha. Why does Hashem have to give me all the punishment now? Why can HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish me over time? That way I can deal with it. Why does it have to come continuously without any break? Halo ha'adam hu biyada. Hashem has all the time in his world. If Hashem was a human being, Hashem is in a rush, because then Hashem would be limited in time. But Hashem has no limitation of time. So why are you in a rush to punish me with such intensity? He then also complains to Hashem. Another theme mentioned in this section is, why don't you have compassion upon the work of your hand? You created a human being with the ultimate chokhmah. Chokhmah niflah. So how can it be that you have no compassion over the product of your labor? The loyachos melach b'pol yadav hanasim b'chachma neflo v'shleim usraf. Kerashi, we finish up the Rashi. Rashi says v'terem eilek. We did a pasuk of beis. Afesa shem davar. Afesa is a noun. Chashecha, it means darkness. Kmo shachar ve'efa, like morning and darkness. Salmavis he v'loy sudadim ba. There are no orders. Shema sidrei adam. The present says no sidrei adam. Kolema minhagim. There are no minhagim. Okay, so in Gehenim there are no menhagim, no Jewish customs. Menhagim, there's no conduct. She'ein sham yishuv, there's no land. V'or shelo, and its light is Ophel, who is darkness. Vatofa k'mo Ophel, and the shine is like darkness. Mokam mofash sheba, the place of shine, of radiance. K'mo Ophel, who is like darkness.
You know what we said earlier?
Yeah.
Bildad didn't say to Eov, you're a Rasha.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, you are a tzaddik, because no one denies you're a tzaddik. But at the end, the good, the bad will be good.
Right.
For you. Because if you were Russia, you would not go. And he was saying, I wish I were Russia, because then
I'll go right away. I wouldn't have to suffer.
So he can't deny it. He says, I'm a tzaddik, and you know I'm a tzaddik. And why do I get this?
Right, okay.